I'm going to be sharing the final message in our summer series on the book of Hebrews. We've been working through that. I think this is our 8th or 9th message from the book of Hebrews. And I want to share with you this morning about finishing strong. Now, this past summer, as you know, Rio hosted the Olympic Games, the Summer Olympic Games. And I think most of us probably watched a little bit at least of it on television. It's quite enjoyable. It was great this year also to see our Canadian athletes do so well, wasn't it? Our team from Canada did great. And you know, one of the reasons I like to watch the Olympics is because I like to hear about those inspiring stories. Every time there's an Olympics, there always seems to be some inspiring stories that happen. And this year, maybe you heard about the race, the women's 5,000-meter race, and something really neat happened there, inspiring story. It was the first heat, and about halfway through the race, the runner from the U.S. and the runner from New Zealand, they tangled their feet, and they both fell and tumbled to the ground on the track. And when the U.S. runner stood back up to run again, she saw that her competitor was still there on the ground, and so she went back to see if she was okay. And then she encouraged her to get up and to finish the race with her. So helping each other, they were able to cross the finish line together. And later they were both awarded the Olympic Sportsmanship Medal. I like stories about people who don't give up, don't you? You know, quitters aren't really much of an inspiration, are they? It's the grit and tenacity. Those are the qualities that we admire in people. In chapters 11 and 12, the writer of Hebrews now inspires the reader with stories of people who didn't give up, people who exercised faith in even the most difficult of circumstances, and encourages us as Jesus' followers to follow their example. Because how you begin your life in Christ is really important, but how you finish is just as important. In fact, how you finish is maybe even more important. And so the writer of Hebrews is telling us that God not only wants us to start well, he wants us to finish well. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. And in this text, the writer uses the metaphor of running a race to describe the Christian life that God calls us to. Listen to what he says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In other words, don't give up. Stay strong right to the finish. You ever watched the 100-meter sprint in the Olympics? The race, the whole thing is over in about 11 seconds. But it takes them longer to get set up in their starting blocks than it does actually take to run the actual race. Yet no one wins any awards for being the fastest out of the starting blocks. For the first 80 meters or so of the race, you really can't tell who's going to win the race. They're so close. It's impossible to know who will win. It's only after those 80 meters and those last 20 meters of the race, they see the fastest sprinters begin to pull away and separate themselves from the others and cross the finish line first to win the race. You see, winning the prize isn't just about getting off to a good start, but it's about finishing well. And it's the same with our walk with God. For example, think of Judas. Judas decided to follow Jesus. He heard Jesus' teaching like everybody else. He went two by two with the others doing ministry, healing the sick and casting out demons. And Judas did a lot of discipleship kind of things. Yet he's remembered solely for how his relationship with Jesus ended. And how a life or a ministry or a relationship ends really marks everything that goes before it. And that's why Paul spoke the words of 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, when he sat in a Roman jail cell, knowing that he was soon to be martyred for his faith. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Paul tells us that he expected to receive a crown, not because he started well, but because he finished well. He finished the race. And so I want to talk to you this morning about finishing the race. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders." So when we think of our Christian lives as a race, perhaps we should think of something more like a relay race, where those who have finished their course have handed over their baton, and now they're watching and encouraging their successors. And not only do they want us to run the race, but they want us to finish well, to finish strong. And so how do we do that? How do we finish strong? How do we finish well? Well, let me give you a few ideas. Well, first we need to stay on course. You know, in a race, the officials go out ahead and place markers on the course to show the runners where they're supposed to run. And if you have any intention of taking home a medal, then you have to follow the race course that's been marked out. You can't just decide, well, I know this is a 10K kilometer race, but I only got 5 kilometers in me this morning, so I'm just going to take a shortcut. I hope nobody minds. Or you can't look at, you know, a particular hill and say, well, that hill just looks nasty to me. I'm not going to try and tackle that. I'm just going to run around it. Or you can't do that. No, you have to run the race that's marked out for you. And so it is with the Christian life. God has gone before you. He knows your end from your beginning, and he knows all the days of your life. Scripture says, run with perseverance the race that's marked out for you. See, everyone's race is unique. Everyone's life is unique. Yet I find I have a tendency to compare myself with other people sometimes. When my race seems tough, I want to feel sorry for myself, it's easy to look at what the other guy's doing and say, boy, if I had his race to run, that'd be no problem. I could handle that. Or if I had his paycheck, I could run with perseverance the race marked out for me. Or if I only had his life, it'd be easy. And we can rationalize to the point where we say, well, it's okay for me to quit. I don't have to run with perseverance because my course is so much harder than everybody else's. But God says, I want you to run your race, this race. This is what I hold you accountable for. So don't think about others or look at others. Just look at me. And together we'll run your race. So finishing strong means that you have to stay on course and run the race that's been marked out for you, the race that God's called you to run uniquely in your own life. Next, if you're going to finish strong, you've got to stay focused on the finish line. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, I like the way the Message translation words this verse. The Message translates it this way: "Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race you're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God." When Jesus went to the cross, he went there because of the joy it would bring when he finished. He looked right through the cross, the joy of bringing salvation to those he loved. He stayed focused on the mission his Father had called him to. He stayed focused on the finish line. And if we're going to stay strong, then we need to follow Jesus' example. We've got to keep running until we reach the finish line, until we accomplish everything that God has called us to. For example, in October of 1968, at the Mexico City Olympics, late in the evening when it was getting dark, after the winner of the race had already crossed the finish line about an hour earlier, the spectators were preparing to leave. Maybe a few thousand were left, and then they heard some police sirens and some whistles coming from a gate that was entering the stadium. And everyone's attention was then turned to that gate, and a sole figure wearing the colors of Tanzania came limping into the stadium. His name was Joseph Stephen Akware, and he was the last man to finish the Olympic marathon that year. His leg was bloodied and bandaged because he had had a bad fall earlier in the race, and all he could do was limp. He couldn't even run. He limped his way around the track, and the crowd then stood and applauded as he finished that last lap. And when he finally finished across the finish line, One man asked him, "You're so badly injured, why didn't you quit? Why didn't you give up?" And Aquarius said, "My country did not send me 7,000 miles to start this race. My country sent me to finish." And so it is with God. God didn't just send you to start this race that you're on. He didn't just send you to begin a noble task or relationship. He sent you to finish, to both start and finish. You know, the start of the race is really a wonderful thing. The runners in the marathon are always feeling great and energetic and strong at the beginning. They've done that training for years. They're strong, they're ready, and they're like rabbits just waiting to get going at the starting line. Then the gun sounds, and the crowd is cheering, and they take off, and there's kind of an excitement, electricity in the air. When you start a race, you feel like $1 million. You have all kinds of enthusiasm. But when you get about 30 kilometers into that marathon, it's a whole different experience. You've got those blisters on your feet. You feel like there's a knife in your side. Your legs have turned to oatmeal. Your muscles are screaming from the pain. Another race is a completely different experience. Often in life, when we get down the road of life and experiences, there's pain involved. We experience those hard times. And we might say, well, you know, this hurts so much that it must not be God's will. But pain doesn't mean that you're not in God's will. Sometimes the race that God calls us to run involves running through pain. God calls you to do this. He wants you to keep running even through the pain. God wants you not just to be a good starter. He wants you to be a great finisher. Maybe you've seen that movie, Chariots of Fire, way back years ago. Remember that one? It was the true story of Olympian Eric Little. He was a man from Scotland who ran in the Olympics and went on after his Olympic career to become a missionary in China, where he actually gave his life. You may recall that he refused to run the Sabbath, forfeiting some of the wars he probably would have won at the 1924 Olympics. Well, there's another scene actually in that movie that might appear like Hollywood fiction, but is actually totally true. One year before the Olympic event, Eric Little ran in a meet between England, Ireland, and Scotland. And he ran the 100 and the 220 and the 440 yard events. Now in the 440, he got off to a bad start. When the gun sounded, there was a lot of shoving going on at the front, trying to get out front and into the inside lane. And Eric Little tangled his feet with J.J. Giles of England, and Eric Little fell and tumbled to the track. He sat there dazed for a moment, not knowing whether he should get up or not, and the official screamed at him, "Get up and run!" And so he did. He jumped to his feet and took off after the pack, which was now at least a good 20 yards ahead of him. Now, in a quarter-mile race, that's a pretty big distance to try to make up. But with his unorthodox style of running, he took off after that pack. He pulled into fourth place, 10 yards behind the leader, J.J. Giles. And then with 40 yards to go, he pulled into third place and then into second. And right at the finish line, he passed Giles, stuck out his chest and broke the tape and won the race and then collapsed on the track from exhaustion. The medical personnel actually had to assist him off the track on that day. An article appearing in the next day in the Scotsman's newspaper said, "The circumstances in which Little won the race made it a performance bordering on the miraculous." You see, there's just something glorious about getting up off the track after you've been knocked down and keep running. Win or lose, you didn't stay down. Proverbs 24:16 says, "Though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again." Now, some of you may have been knocked down. Maybe Satan has tripped you up. Perhaps you've made some bad choices, or perhaps other people have done you wrong. But when we're down the track, when we've fallen, sometimes we're embarrassed or we're ashamed. At times we feel self-pity or maybe depression. At times like this, we just feel like staying on the track. We feel like giving up. But the only real shame is when we stay down on the track, because God's word to you is get up and run again. Forget those who've wronged you. Forget what lies behind. Run for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You still have a race to run. You still have a race ahead of you. Remember how Jesus looked at Peter right in the eyes and said, "You're going to deny me." But then he also said, "When you turn back, strengthen your brothers." In other words, after you fall, get back up again and run. Get back into God's calling and purpose for your life. Don't stay down on the track. Stay focused on the finish line. But a third thing we have to do to finish strong is we have to overcome obstacles. Now, in the Boston Marathon, there's a legendary obstacle called Heartbreak Hill. Starting at about the 21-kilometer mark of the race, there's a whole bunch of hills. And the most challenging is at the 30-kilometer mark, a place that they call Heartbreak Hill. It's the longest and steepest hill in the race. And what makes this hill even worse is that the marathon runners usually hit the wall around the 30-kilometer mark. So that by that time, their bodies have been depleted, all the energy that's stored in their muscles. Their muscles are screaming for oxygen. And when you hit the wall, you feel like you don't have any energy or anything that can help you keep going. And Heartbreak Hill tests runners to the very core of their determination and their strength. Now, in a similar way, there are heartbreak hills that come into our lives. Some have small problems, some have bigger problems. And sometimes we face heartbreak hill type of problems, like when we lose a loved one, or when we lose our job, or when someone experiences the pain of divorce or a broken relationship, when financial catastrophe maybe happens, or an emotional breakdown, or we experience illness. And there may be people here this morning, and you are in the middle of a heartbreak hill experience right now. You're facing the most severe test of your life. And it's the heartbreak hills that test our faith and trust in God, right to the very core of our being. And I wish that someone was able to answer all the questions that we have about a heartbreak, but we don't have all the answers. And sometimes we have a nice explanation for what's happening, but it seems like most of the time in Heartbreak Hill, God doesn't show us precisely what's going on or why. But he calls us to trust him. Even though it seems confusing and senseless in our perspective, he calls us to trust him through those experiences. And James 1 verse 12 gives us this promise. It says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Now, speaking of obstacles, think of the children of Israel when they left Egypt. Pharaoh changed his mind and he came after him and pursued them with the Egyptian army. Remember, the Israelites were on foot and the Egyptians were in chariots. And they could see the dust from those horses' hooves drawing closer and closer to them. And as they were running away from the Egyptians, they run right into the Red Sea. And the obstacles they faced in that moment seemed insurmountable. But God didn't bring them out of Egypt so they could quit in the desert or in the wilderness. In a similar way, God hasn't brought you this far to see you fail now. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 say, "For God said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear." We know how the story goes. God did not abandon the Israelites, and they didn't give up. In fact, Hebrews 11, verse 29 says, "It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned." In tough times, we can have the courage to keep going because we know that our Heavenly Father will never abandon us. He will never fail. And we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will have no fear." We have a Father in heaven who never gives up on us, who travels beside us even on our toughest days. The story of Olympian Derek Redmond is one of the most inspiring, I think, that I've heard. It was on August 3rd at the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. That track and field stadium that night, the gun sounded for the 400-meter semifinals. And about 100 meters into that race, Britain's Derek Redmond crumbled to the track with a torn hamstring muscle. And the medical attendants rushed out to assist him, but as they approached him, he waved them all aside. He struggled to get to his feet, crawling and hopping in a desperate effort to try to reach the finish line. 4 years earlier, he'd also qualified for the 1988 Olympics in Seoul, Korea. But just 90 seconds before his heat, he had to pull out of the Olympics because of an Achilles tendon injury. And following that injury, he had 5 surgeries. Yet somehow he qualified again for the 1992 Olympics. And now he had just suffered a career-ending injury. But he said to himself, "I'm not quitting. I'm going to finish this race." And he worked his way around the track, hobbling and hopping and crawling at times just to get down that lane. But then a big guy wearing a T-shirt and tennis shoes and a Nike cap that said, "Just do it," barreled out of the stands, hurled aside a security guard, and ran to Derek Redmond's side and embraced him. And it was Jim Redmond, Derek's father. And with his arms around his son's waist and Derek's arms around his father's thick shoulders and neck, they continued to go down that track. And the crowd just stood and cheered them on as they hobbled down. And Derek and his dad worked their way around the track until finally, arm in arm, they crossed the finish line. Now, that's the way an earthly father responds to his son, who is determined to finish the race no matter what. How much more does God, our Heavenly Father, want us to finish? How much more will he run to our side, the side of a son or a daughter who says, I'm going to finish. I don't care how hard it is. I'm going to finish this race. God says in Isaiah 43, verses 3 and 4, listen to me, you whom I have held up since you were conceived and have carried since your birth even to your old age and gray hairs. I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. You see, that's your Heavenly Father speaking, and that's his promise to you. And as he carries you, and as you wrap your arms around him, God whispers in your ear, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And as he embraces you and squeezes you a little tighter, he whispers again and says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. My prayer for you is that one day, like the Apostle Paul, you'll be able to say these words, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. My prayer is that you will not only run the race, but you will finish it well. Because everything we do in life will be marked by how we finish. So be sure to finish well. Now, as we conclude this sermon series on the book of Hebrews this morning, allow me to read to you the benediction from the final chapter, from chapter 13. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as I read it. It's Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. It says, may the God of peace, through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided everything for us to be equipped to do every good thing in your will. Father, we thank you that through Christ we are victorious, that the victory that Christ has won on the cross is ours as we put our faith in him. Thank you for your promise that you'll never abandon us. Father, thank you for that you are faithful. And Lord, even though we sometimes are not faithful and we do fail, Lord, you will never fail. And you will never abandon us. And we can stand upon that promise that our Father will help us to the finish line, to finish strong. And so we ask that you would fill us afresh with your life-giving spirit this morning. Father, we acknowledge that we have need of you. It's your strength working within us. It's your breath. It's your spirit working within us and empowers us, Lord, to finish strong. And Lord, we invite you and ask you, oh Lord God, once more this morning to fill us a fresh way with your spirit. As we, Lord God, focus on Jesus, and as we surrender our hearts this morning to you, Lord, we look at Jesus, we let our past go behind us, we leave it behind, whether it's what we've done or what others have done to us, or what other circumstances we've faced, Lord, are there obstacles we face, whatever challenges we face, we stand in faith because we focused on Christ, not the obstacles. Lord, we look to you to help us to run well and to finish strong. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.